Let's pray before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the insight that you give us through this letter from Paul. And we just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds as we begin to look at the word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've come to the end of this letter. After 5 weeks, we finally get to see how Paul's going to conclude everything that he's told Timothy and all the advice that he's given him. This part of Paul's letter to Timothy is his closing commission. It's like his sign-off from duty. You might be surprised that only 5 verses in this chapter are spent instructing Timothy, and the other 17 are largely about Paul's experiences and the people that he's known. One second. So he doesn't focus on his own experience to get sympathy from Timothy. It's not because he wants somebody to complain to about the difficult time he's had. The reason why Paul includes such a personal description of his own challenges is to train Timothy, to prepare him for what lies ahead. As a Christian who professes his faith publicly and makes Jesus known to those around him, Timothy has difficult experiences ahead of him as well, and the best authority on any experience is somebody who's already been through it. For example. Thanks, Philip. So, like the Frisky's cat, Paul knows the importance of preparing the next generation for what lies ahead of them. If you've ever taken on a new job or even a volunteer role, then you'll know how helpful it is to hear firsthand from the person who had that role before you. Now, as he writes to Timothy, Paul is speaking about his life as a minister, an evangelist, a Christian. And Paul says that life as a Christian is essential, it's warranted, it's encouraging, and it's fruitful. But he also says that it's frustrating, sometimes fruitless, open to opposition, it's hard work, it's disheartening, it can be dangerous, and it's lonely. Over the past few weeks, we've heard in more detail about Paul's hardships and the suffering that he's been through. He tells Timothy of these things, knowing that at times it will be the same for him. So given all these things that Paul describes, why is he so insistent that Timothy should live his life as a public Christian? Well, the most obvious reason that Paul seems to be highlighting is this. Make Jesus known because people won't want to know him. People will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As the leader of a church, Timothy will encounter both believers and non-believers who reject the truth about God, and he needs to make it a priority to explain the gospel to people. But why does it matter if people reject the truth about God and the gospel of Jesus? Well, Paul provides the answer to this in his very first line. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Paul is pointing out to Timothy that Jesus didn't just take off forever and leave his apostles in charge of the world. He's coming back, and he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. So it's not about Timothy at all, but those around him. He needs to help people understand how to be right with God when this happens. He needs to help them understand that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. But there's another reason for Paul's enthusiastic urging of Timothy. And again, it's not about Timothy at all. It's about God's glory. Paul wants Timothy to strive to make God's glory known to other people and to be worthy of the crown of righteousness, which is reserved for all who have longed for the appearing of Jesus. By this, Paul doesn't just mean himself and Timothy, but everyone whom God has set aside and saved. all Christians. God calls us to represent him to the world around us, and we do this by making Jesus known. So far, we've looked at what it's like being someone who makes Jesus known, and we've looked at why it's important. But the real question is, how do we make Jesus known? As followers of Jesus, charged with making him known to the world around us, we need to do three things. Number one, know the word. Before we can know how to share the word of God with someone, we need to know the word of God. Paul tells us with certainty that in the days before Jesus returns, lots of people will reject the truth about God and will find others to agree with them, whatever they choose to believe. He's warning that believers of the word of God will be rejected, both by those who once believed it and by those who are hearing it for the first time. So it's all the more important that those who know the gospel and the word of God make sure they know it well and stick to it faithfully. In fact, the charge that Paul makes to Timothy at the beginning of this passage is directly preceded by an encouragement to know the scriptures, which we can read in chapter 3. And you might remember that last week, George pointed out the importance of regular Bible reading. So, if you don't feel like you know the scriptures well enough to use them in answering the questions that people ask you, you might consider using a reading plan like this one, which we were shown last week. Or, if you're not in a Bible study group that meets regularly to read the Bible together, you might consider joining one. So that's number one. Number two, the second instruction Paul gives is to proclaim the message. The message of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. In other translations, this instruction is expressed as preach the word. So Paul is telling Timothy to speak out what he knows about God, what he's learned from God's own word. We know that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. And in verses 2 to 5, Paul encourages Timothy to share what he knows about God with determination, in an ongoing way, taking every opportunity that presents itself, whether or not it's convenient to him. Paul encourages him to adapt his methods to the situation, to convince those who need assurance, to rebuke those who know the message but are rebellious, and to encourage those who are struggling, and in all circumstances to be patient with people. Being the leader of a church, Timothy would definitely have encountered people who knew the gospel but were struggling in their faith, and perhaps had even changed their mind since making their initial commitment to follow Jesus. And throughout the passage, Paul even mentions some examples of this happening in his own community. But Timothy would also have been in contact with those who had never heard the gospel at all, or even heard of God. He had a responsibility to preach the message to people in all situations. And as God's representatives to the rest of the world, we should also be sharing what we know about him, not keeping it to ourselves. I wonder, who are the people around us who need to hear the message? George just asked before if any of us know people in our lives who don't know the word of God. To proclaim the message might be to explain the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection to someone who hasn't heard it before. It might be to discuss someone's own beliefs or worldview with them, and to persuade them that Jesus is the Lord for them as well. It might be to challenge a Christian over their understanding of God or how they're living out their faith. Or it might be to support someone who's suffering or just struggling in their faith and to strengthen them in their relationship with God. Or next time there's an Alpha course running here at St. Tom's or at your own church if you're not from St. Tom's, you might think about who you can ask to come with you. You might learn a gospel tract like Epic Story or Two Ways to Live so that you can share them with people. You might start by sharing with the people around you that you are a Christian and that you do go to church. You might even invite someone to come with you to a church event, a fundraising event, a youth group night, to join you at Tom's Crew, Mops, Mike's Mates, anything that you're involved with at church. Or you might find, if you keep your ears open, that opportunities to share your faith with those around you do present themselves. Now, maybe this is something you're new at. Maybe it's something you've never done at all. On the other hand, maybe it's an everyday experience for you and you want to grow in your skills at it. George, what would you suggest for people in any of those situations?
Well, they could come along on Tuesday night at 7:30
here. Oh, yep, so that would be a great thing to do, a great place to start, coming to an evangelism course on Tuesday night. But if you can't, then I encourage you to think about how you might be able to share the gospel in your own setting. Perhaps by inviting people to a Father's Day barbecue brunch, and you can get flyers for these outside. Paul encourages us to carry out our ministry fully. Paul is able to say at the end of his life that he has fought the good fight, he has finished the race, he has kept the faith, and he's looking for us in the same way to be persistent in and faithful in our ministry, whatever it may be. So that's two, and it brings us to number three. The third component in Paul's instructions to Timothy is a handover, like a passing on. At the beginning of our series on 2 Timothy, we looked at the letter in comparison with the handing over of a baton in a relay. And here, Paul stresses that his own time as a minister and an evangelist is coming to a close. Paul is anticipating his departure from his earthly life, having been faithful in the task that he was given to proclaim the message to the Gentiles. It's a reminder that those who brought us to faith and raised us up won't be there forever. So if you're someone who's been a Christian for a long time and you have experience in living out your faith, or if you're in a position of leadership, you might consider who you can invest in to become a leader in the future. Like we talked about last week, the example set by one generation of believers has a big impact on shaping the next. So there's three. In living out our lives as public Christians who represent Jesus to those around us, we are to know the word, to proclaim the message, and to pass these things on to the generation that comes after us, and to keep passing the baton for others to receive. Just as we received it from early church leaders like Timothy, who received it from Paul, who received it from Jesus himself. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that everyone here might strive to pass on the message of your gospel to those around them with enthusiasm and with endurance. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.